This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex P. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys, presented by Boston Hemp, Inc., Thursday, May 23rd. Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith with you, ready to break down Game 1 of the Western Conference Final tonight. The Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars as they get their series underway on the heels of the East Final, getting their series going last night on what was another fun, exciting betcast last night on the show. Great camaraderie and great conversation. And because the game was pretty low event and the game did not have a boatload of goal scoring, obviously, it really was much more of a conversational, you know, type of betcast last night. But it was a lot of fun hanging with our viewers and listeners and a couple of guests that joined us. We had Sammy P with us last night, and we had the great Gamblu with us last night, Lou Finicaro, who I have not seen or talked to in several years. And I'm very glad I reached out to him to invite him onto the betcast, and it was great to catch up with him. Unfortunately, we didn't get around to asking him about the UFC pay-per-view in a week and a half, the good news is I think Lou is joining us tonight on the West Final betcast, Patreon exclusive. So we'll definitely get around to that at some point tonight if he indeed joins us again. But it was a great, fun betcast. Like I said, as far as action and as far as goal scoring and offense, was it the most enthralling game one last night between the Panthers Rangers? No, but I thought it was still a pretty good, it was a competitive game. It was cagey at times. It was very well defended by both teams in their own end for much of the game. The goaltending was outstanding, really, from both guys, but especially Sergei Bobrovsky, who ends up getting the shutout with that 3-0 win. And we have to salute Bailey for coming up with the highway bobbery comment in the chat, which is pretty good. I don't know if it was highway bobbery, but boy, he was damn good last night. And, you know, the Panthers showed when they have a lead, they can defend and shut things down and close things out as good as anybody, because it was basically wet blanket time all over the New York Rangers after Matthew Tkachuk got Florida on the board with that late first period goal to make it 1-0. What I was very disappointed about, I know Hockey Night in Canada talked about, look, Florida cut off the neutral zone. They stayed disciplined. I thought that was critical last night. They didn't take many penalties. They didn't give that New York Rangers power play many opportunities to make a difference. And I think that's going to serve them well, obviously, and not only in winning last night in game one, but moving forward, if they're going to stay out of the box, they're going to put themselves in a great position to win this series, the Florida Panthers. They did a good job of that last night. And then when there was a breakdown and there was a quality chance for the Rangers, Sergei Bobrovsky was there. He was strong. He had to make a couple of really good saves about midway through the second period. And the Rangers did put on a good push in the third when they were down 1-0. And there were some quality chances. I think they did hit a post on a breakaway during that game last night as well. So they did have their chances, the Rangers. But again, you're looking at a Florida team that still defended well. And when the quality chances, the few that the Rangers had when they were there, Sergei Bobrovsky was there to clean up the mess and keep the puck out of the net. And then an unfortunate kind of play for the Rangers to put the game away late in the third period. The shot taken, of course, by Ekman-Larsson, and it goes in off the stick of Alexis Lafreniere, deflects in past his own goaltender. And we joked on the BetCast, hey, there's my Alexis Lafreniere bargain bin, plus 310 last night. He'd scored a goal, unfortunately, for the wrong fucking team. Put it in his own net. And unfortunately, 2-0 Panthers, and that pretty much put the game away, and they added one into the empty net, which I actually was happy about because I did have a piece of Sam Bennett to score a goal for the Florida Panthers, and he gets the empty net goal to put it away 3-0. Just a business-like, workman-like, solid effort from the Florida Panthers last night. That being said, I'm shocked by the people that are a little bit that are after just one game. Look, I'm in the position where I want Florida to win this series. I think Florida will win this series. But I'm just surprised that we're still in the mindset after one hockey game in a best of seven series that we're dismissing one team so decisively already after just one game. I do think it's an uphill battle for the Rangers in this series. There's no question. But I'm just stunned at all the opinions I'm seeing floating around that Florida's going to win this handily now and quickly. Could that happen? Yes, but could we not just sit back and wait for game two, see what happens, see what kind of adjustments the Rangers make with their lineup? Again, they probably know that they didn't win enough puck battles. And that speaks to what I said about the fact that Florida didn't take many penalties last night. If you're not going to win those one-on-one battles and put yourself in advantageous positions with the puck on your stick, you're not going to draw penalties. And that was an issue for the Rangers last night in that game. I'm not there yet with Florida's going to romp over this team. I'm not. And I know there are some people thinking that because it was just such an impressive first game victory for the Florida Panthers. But let's see game two. Peter Laviolette's no schmuck. He's been around the block. He knows a thing or two about coaching in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's see what happens here in game two on Friday night. When these teams meet again in Madison Square Garden. But Alex, like I said, perfect start for the Panthers. A tremendous road effort last night, getting the shutout in game one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big win. You obviously want to start off your series getting a win, especially when you're on the road team, and to have a shutout to Sergei Bobrovsky, who's already been lights out all postseason long. But to now have him just be more confident in the series after having the days off and coming back and getting a shutout now, It makes for a dangerous spot for the Rangers, and it makes – now I don't want to call game two a must-win for the Rangers, but I think you have to expect a lot of offensive pushback early in game two. I'd probably be looking at anything Rangers first period in that game, because if they don't get out in the first period, then things could go south in the game and the rest of the series. So that's definitely going to be the case. You have to see – an increase in offense, really, by both teams, because Florida is not going to be able to just win every game 2-1 either. Utilize your strength. Your strength is, like you said, being physical, drawing teams into penalty situations, getting on the power play and scoring goals. So you don't want to start getting it to, oh, well, Bobrovsky's on fire now. We can play every game 1-0, 2-1. And now all of a sudden you got a tired Bobrovsky and you got all these different games. And, I did bet three or more games to go past OT, but if you get this kind of hockey all the way down the stretch, we might be talking about a lot of periods of hockey, a lot of taxing hockey, and that's not what you want, even if you're going on to win the Eastern Conference and go to the Stanley Cup Final. You do not want to fatigue yourself out if you don't have to. So for both teams, the emphasis needs to be offense in game two, even if you are getting quality goaltending. And Shesterkin wasn't horrible. Like I said, it was an own goal that really made it a 2-0 game. So both goalies still need to be sharp, but the offense has to increase for both teams. Like I said, to not wear themselves out. If Florida has a chance to go in and win this in 4 or 5 games, then you got to dominate and blow them out. But you do not want 4 or even 5 2-1 games and then having to have this break, going into the Cup final. I think that would be more detrimental than having six boat races from here on out going back and forth, to be honest. So that's the kind of thing. It's, you know, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? And this is a good first win for Florida, a good, you know, you count this as Bobrovsky stealing a victory, but you don't want to make that the regular routine, especially in game two. You want to establish some dominance to get some offense rolling.
And it felt like the flow and the offensive zone time, the territory, the shots, they were all pretty, not just a little in favor of Florida, but pretty substantially. But you start to look at a natural stat trick, one of those sites. And at this time of year, I'm really interested because it's a series, it's game to game. I'm interested more in, you know, your high danger chances for, high danger chances against numbers, your expected goals for, your expected goals against numbers. And if you look at game one last night, even though it was 3-0 Florida, high danger chances were 8-7 for Florida. So they only had one more high danger chance in that game than the Rangers. So what does that mean? That means that even though the Rangers had far fewer shots on goal in the game, they had the chances they did have were quality. They had a bunch of ones that were quality. And again, 8-7 in the high danger chance category in favor of Florida last night. Expected goals for 2-1.78 in favor of Florida last night. And that tells you all you need to know about how well defended it was. Two expected goals for Florida. They end up with 1.78 expected goals for the Rangers. And of course, they get shut out. Bobrovsky was outstanding last night. But again, the expected goal for percentage share was only 52.8 for the Panthers, 52.87 for the Panthers, 47.13 for the Rangers. So let's not act like this was a total lopsided game. Yes, territorially and controlling the flow was Florida, and the shots on goal edge was superior, no question for Florida. But the chances the Rangers got with the shots they had, there were some plentiful looks, quality looks for them. So that's why, and remember, this was a 1-0 game. Go inside of 5 minutes left in the third when Florida finally put it away with the second goal. So that's why I'm not there yet with the Rangers are just going to get walked on in this series, and it's going to be a short series. Now, maybe I'm trying to convince myself of that because I have a lot of 6- and 7-game series positions in this series, but I'm just not there yet with Florida's just going to romp. Let's see what happens in game two. I think the Rangers do need to ramp it up. And I like that Hockey Night in Canada talked about this on the post game, that there's one of the Ranger players getting run by Mikkola in the final seconds, like right into the boards, 3 seconds left in a 3-0 game. And the Rangers just, you know, just walk away and go back to their dressing room, and nobody gets in Mikkola's face for that. That was disheartening. That was disappointing. I'd be upset about that if I'm a Ranger fan. No emotional pushback there. When your guy gets run into the boards with 3 seconds left in a game that's long gone, you know, I'd be upset that nobody did something about Mikkola there, or at least get in his face, chirp him, you know, get in his grill, you know, push him, you know, do something. The Rangers didn't do that. So that's very disappointing to me. You got to amp it up as far as your intensity level, and you got to have each other's back a little bit better than that, in my opinion, the way that game ended. But credit to Florida, a great 3-0 shutout win. We'll see if the Rangers make any lineup changes, Alex, in game two, because Blake Wheeler is apparently healthy and ready to be inserted into the lineup. If Laviolette wants to go in that direction, everyone's going to talk now until game two. Do you bring in Matt Rempe for a little more physicality and get the emotional intensity level dialed up a little bit for the New York Rangers going into game two? I'm sure that's something that Pete Laviolette's going to ponder as well. So going to be some interesting decisions about the Rangers lineup going into game two. I do want to shout out, because they're on their way to Dallas, both of them today, the Robinson boys. I see they're both in the chat. And this is what makes me feel so great about what we've got here with the Ice Guys show. We've got people that have obviously, you know, interacted with each other for the first times in life, thanks to this show and both and being fans of the show. And we're going to have ourselves the Robinson boys meeting up with Landon Flores down there in Dallas when they're there for the next few days. And again, people that are just all of a sudden know about each other and have interacted with each other and know of each other through being fans of this show and watching this show daily. Warms the heart. So Ryan Robinson, Maddie Robinson, and Landon, you guys have yourself a great time down there in Dallas with the West Final getting underway tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's so cool. We, like I said, we built this community now, and for people that should be traveling and kind of meeting up with other people amongst the community, it's a really, really cool thing. And really, really, like I said, it's a great feeling for us, you know, to be able to facilitate that.
No doubt. And like just like a few months ago when we saw John Massey and Rico from Barrie hanging at a Senators game in Ottawa, there a while back. So good stuff, and you hope you guys enjoy the series and enjoy game one tonight specifically. I know Ryan will be there for game one tonight. Matt will be there for game two of the series on Saturday night.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
With that in mind, great segue. It's time to get into game one of the Western Conference Final. We will be on the air for our Patreon exclusive live betcast tonight, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time for game one tonight. We've got the Dallas Stars -130 home favorites here in game one, the total six across the board. You look at the Edmonton Oilers off a seven-game series against the Vancouver Canucks. And long-term, there's been that thought process where you're off a seven-game series, you're not ready to respond and play your best in game one. But if you actually look at the shorter-term results that we've seen in the playoffs the last couple of years, the teams that are off that long series and just go, roll into the next series with that rhythm of playing every other day or just a couple days off like Edmonton has, those teams do pretty well. Boston against Florida, game one in the second round is a perfect example of that, where the Bruins are off that seven-game series, which went to overtime as well in game seven against Toronto on a Saturday night, and to turn around, play game one against Florida Monday night. They're running on adrenaline, running on fumes, I guess you could say, and the Bruins ripped right into Florida and drilled the Panthers in that first game of the series. And that's kind of similar elements to what we saw there with this Edmonton team, quite honestly, going into game one here tonight. And then you combine that with the other side of this equation, and that's the Dallas Stars game one ineptitude that we have seen this year in the first two rounds, as well as the fact that under the current head coach, Peter DeBoer, who's done a great job, there's no question. But one thing he has not been is, we've talked about how he's been Mr. Game 7, right, in his career, 8-0 in Game 7s for Peter DeBoer. At least with Dallas here, since he's joined the Stars as head coach, he has not been Mr. Game 1. In fact, the Dallas Stars, with Peter DeBoer as head coach in Game 1 of a playoff series since he's been here, are 0-5, believe it or not, 0-5. In game ones under head coach Peter DeBoer. Now, there's going to be some people saying, well, it's due for a correction. There's people that are saying, well, you could have won the Vegas game and you didn't. You had a 3-0 lead against Colorado in game one in the second round and you lost in overtime. So it's not like they were brutal in the games that they lost in game one. And I agree with that. They were winnable games. But at the end of the day, did they win those games? No, they did not. So at the end of the day, and they have not won a game one under Peter DeBoer, and plus you have the layoff situation, you know, kind of the same thing we talked about with Florida. Part of the reason why Boston beat Florida game one in the second round is because Florida was off for almost a week, and you can tell they just weren't up to speed. They were not synced. Passes weren't clicking. You can tell, just a sign of a team that had not played an intense Stanley Cup playoff game in almost a week. Well, it's the same scenario tonight for Dallas, because we have not seen them play since Friday, last Friday night in Denver, when they wrapped up game six in overtime with that Matt Duchene winner in double overtime. That's how long it's been, you know, since the Dallas Stars, you know, have played a playoff game. So I think there's an opportunity here for Edmonton to get the jump on Dallas early and maybe ride it out to winning game one and keeping the Dallas futility in game one's going. So I'm on Edmonton split here, first period full game money line on the Oilers. And this is coming from someone that still thinks Dallas is winning this series. I do. I think Dallas wins the series still. We've seen evidence that they lose game one, they're not shook. They have the kind of veteran leadership. They have the kind of depth. They've got definitely the kind of goaltender that has shown repeatedly over and over again that he's a bounce-back kind of goalie. And so even if Dallas and Ottinger lose tonight, you definitely don't, you know, shy away from believing in them for the rest of the series moving forward. So, like I said, I just think this game is the one that's there for the taking here for the Edmonton Oilers, and I'm not convinced the Dallas Stars are sharp for 60 minutes here tonight, off since Friday, whereas Edmonton coming off the seven games, but it's actually a perfect thing for Edmonton because they're off the seven games, but with Vancouver, but they actually get an extra day because that series didn't start Wednesday after the Monday game seven. They actually get a third break with it starting on Thursday instead. So I think it does set up well for the Oilers. Remember, they beat Dallas here in this building once during the regular season as well in overtime. It was a very, very good hockey game. I think it was a Saturday afternoon game, if I remember, earlier in the season. So, yeah, I like Edmonton here in game one. First period, full game money line. With some trepidation after what we saw last night, which ended up being a much lower scoring, low event hockey game than I thought. But I'm still back to the well with the over bifecta here. First period over, full game over six. Now, again, one game in a large sample size of game ones being high scoring, a little sloppy. One game staying under is not enough to deter my thinking. So I'm still coming back to the over bifecta here with Edmonton and Dallas here as well. I'll get to the lineup stuff in a moment when I talk about props. But first, Alex, we'll get to you. Game one, Edmonton-Dallas.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting series. And, you know, kind of said, you know, talking about it on Twitter and stuff. But, you know, for us older people, Edmonton-Dallas was a staple of the playoffs throughout the late 90s, early 2000s. Not going to look anything like that, those battles for sure. But this definitely should be some interesting hockey. And like I said, Dallas is one of those teams where, okay, they don't get off to a good start in a series. Doesn't mean that they don't win series. You mentioned the 0-5 mark, but we've, you know, mentioned series wins in three of those last five. So when you're looking at the kind of situation, there's just certain teams, and I mentioned it on the BetCast, how the Blackhawks and the Dynasty, the Showtime Dynasty, they were 3-12 in game ones in most series. You could make money fading them first game or first game on the road and still come back and take them in the series. So the way I'm betting it is I'm taking Edmonton to win game one and Dallas to win the series. BetMGM has this at plus 475. That's the highest price I've seen, where some places have it plus 400, plus 410. But I think that's giving me a better price, and then I'm adding a little bit more to my portfolio with Dallas. Obviously, I have plus 850 to win the West. That's my series bet, essentially. But now I'm adding a little bit more at a plus 470 price if Edmonton can get the job done. So I'll have a little bit of Edmonton money line to cash for tonight, but I'll also split it with Edmonton to win game one, Dallas to win the series. And I'm looking at the totals. I see 5.5 minus $1.40 at FanDuel. I'm seeing a minus 122 on that 1.5. So those will be plays I'll be looking for during the BetCast in game at better prices. Like I said, maybe we see a slower start first few minutes into the contest and we can jump in and grab those. So I have nothing pregame on the totals. That will all be stuff I do for the BetCast tonight. But Edmonton, money line plus 110, and then Edmonton to win game one, Dallas to win series plus 475. That's the way I'm splitting up game one here tonight.
All right, good stuff. I like a lot of those angles, those strategies that you are using here for the game tonight. Let's roll through the lineups and what we believe the lineups to be. We obviously have already confirmed that it's going to be Skinner, Stuart Skinner for the Edmonton Oilers, Jake Oettinger in net for Dallas. The lineups for Edmonton looks like it's going to be very similar to the winning lineup they had in game six and seven against Vancouver. It'll be the Nuge, Ryan Nugent Hopkins on the top line with Connor McDavid and Zach Hyman. Evander Kane, Leon Draisaitl, and my guy Dylan Holloway, who cashed a bargain bin for us in game six on Saturday night. He's going to remain on the second line. Warren Fogle, Ryan McLeod, Derek Ryan on the third line. Matthias Janmark, Sam Carrick, Connor Brown on the fourth line. D pairs pretty much the same. Matthias Ekholm with Evan Bouchard, Darnell Nurse, Vincent Desharnais, and Brett Kulak, Cody Ceci going to be your defense pairs for Edmonton. For Dallas, the big news is Roope Hintz is still out. And that's that was the one big, I guess, injury question looming over game one tonight. It was going to be the status of Roope, but he is still out. They're hoping game two or beyond, but Peter DeBoer not committing to that. So we've got Jason Robertson, Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven on the top line, Mason Marchment, Matt Duchene, and Joe Pavelski on the second line, Jamie Benn, the captain, Tyler Seguin, Evgeny Dodonov on the third line, Radek Foxa, Sam Steele, and unfortunately, Craig Smith on the fourth line.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I got a bone to pick with DeBoer about. Like, he's missed a million chances. He had a brutal turnover at the blue line with just needed a simple tape-to-tape pass. Instead, he passes it behind his own teammate, and then it results in a transition opportunity for Colorado in one of the games. He's had enough opportunity here where I just prefer seeing Ty Dellandrea in that spot. For me, it's Ty Dellandrea time on the fourth line. Ty Dellandrea scored a goal, if I'm not mistaken, too, way back in the, is it the Vegas series or the caller? But there was a goal that went in off his face, and I know it went in. And it's because he was went to the front of the net. He did the little things. He plays with some physicality. I'm not saying Craig Smith doesn't, but he's also got a little bit greater foot speed than Craig Smith as well. For me, that's the one change I would make. But apparently Pete is hesitant to do so, as Craig Smith is going to remain on that fourth line with Foxa and Steele. And then the blue line, Thomas Harley with Miro Heiskanen, Esa Lindell with Chris Tanev, the human eraser, as I like to call him. And then Ryan Suter. And here's the interesting switch on the third pair, Alex. Peter DeBoer in game six, I believe, against Colorado, put in Alex Petrovic, who's been around the block. This guy has been with the Florida Panthers. He was actually with Edmonton briefly as well. And he put Petrovic on that third pair, took Nils Lundqvist out for game six. And I thought Petrovic played a very sturdy, sound, fundamentally strong defensive game against Colorado. And again, he's got that physicality quotient as well. He can throw his weight around. I've seen him fight, you know, before in a few NHL games. So I like that. A little more physicality, a little more sandpaper on the blue line from Alex Petrovic, with him on the back end there on that third pair for Dallas. Because Nils Lundqvist had some great moments offensively, but he's also had some suspect moments in his own end. And I think Peter DeBoer senses that at this stage of the playoffs, you want guys that are going to be a rock in their own end, you know, and are not going to play that high-risk game. And sometimes there's a little high risk in Nils Lundqvist, you know, on that blue line for Dallas. So I like that move. I like keeping Petrovic in there. I thought he played very well in game six against Colorado here in the opportunity to stay in the lineup on that third pairing tonight for the Dallas Stars. As far as props go for this game tonight, Wyatt, yes, of course, goes without saying. Joe Pavelski is on the top power play, it looks like, again, to start the series. And I still think the floodgates, at least to some degree, are going to start opening for him. So, you know, his props are still, to me, very interesting. Matt Duchene, you can make the argument, he's been snake bit a little bit, that maybe the scoring the series winning goal in overtime against Colorado maybe gets him going a little bit. You could definitely say that. I definitely think this is a Jamie Benn series start to finish, because this is as close as he's gotten prior to last year, you know, other than last year, to getting to a Stanley Cup final. And that's what's missing for Jamie Benn, getting that Stanley Cup final appearance. He's been close. He'd been bounced in the first round, bounced in the second round, bounced in the conference final last year. This is your chance to finally get over that hurdle. And I think Jamie Benn is going to be the general that leads the troops with a strong series starting in game one. So whether it's shots on goal, if you can find some hit props, I don't know if they're going to be out there for Benn, but if there are, I would take some hit props, you know, with Jamie Benn, because I think he'll be laying the lumber, taking the body here a little bit. Yeah, I did. I forgot, Matt. You're right. The Stanley Cup final, that 2020 year, man, I forget that they were in the final that year. It's that year because of the pandemic and all the craziness going on in the world. You sometimes forget about it and it slips your mind and almost like it doesn't count. But yeah, you're right. With Bonus, of course, was still the coach at the time there for the Dallas Stars. But yeah, I mean, I like Benn here in this series to be good, you know, be impactful, get chances, goal, assist prop. I'm seeing if there's, I don't see any hit props, unfortunately, for him, but I think he's going to be, that would be something I'd be interested in as well. And then, look, I've got a small piece of Heiskanen to be the leading point scorer in the series because he's in on so much of the, you know, offense here for Dallas. So we'll see if he contributes. Chris Tanev over block shots. We've talked about that a lot. I don't think there's been a huge adjustment in his shot block props either. You know, for the most part in these playoffs, they've been 3.5, and I still see it around that number. So it's hard not to look anything but over with him as far as blocking shots are concerned. And then for Edmonton, you know, I know people love betting McDavid and Dreisaitl, and they're certainly very Kate and Hyman, of course, the way he's played this year. But the value, in my opinion, is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the top line, who got, I think, goals in back-to-back games at the end of the Vancouver series. So I like Nugent Hopkins. I think there's value there. My guy, Dylan Holloway, on the second line with Dreisaitl and Kane. I think there's great value in him. I think he's played better and better as the playoffs have gone on. Evander Kane, you can throw him into that mix because both of those guys playing with Dreisaitl, just by default, they're going to get chances. They should get chances and opportunities to make an impact offensively. And I'll throw one out there because I think he scored a couple of times against Dallas during the regular season when the Oilers played them, and that's Warren Fogle down on the third line here for the Edmonton Oilers with McLeod and Ryan. So maybe a little shot with Fogle as well tonight. And then I've got to sprinkle on the two big-time blue liners, you know, the top pair blue liners to score a goal because they've both been capable of doing so. Ekholm for Edmonton and Evan Bouchard, who suddenly has got goals in four of the last six games for the Edmonton Oilers. So we think of Evan Bouchard as a guy that can obviously quarterback the power play, obviously is a great facilitator, great passer, but he's got that Bouch bomb, as Jack Michaels termed it, for that point shot. And that point shot of his is coming through right now. He's got goals, like I said, in four of the last six games for the Edmonton Oilers. So I think Evan Bouchard here, worth a look as well from a goal prop standpoint. And you're still getting great prices, you know, in that plus 450 range. And reminder, too, that Cale Makar killed Dallas on the power play a couple of times. So with that point shot. And Cale Makar's got a damn good point shot. But to be quite honest with you, and we love Cale Makar as an all-around defenseman. He's a sensational player, incredible on the power play. He can do it all. He can skate. He can pass. He can shoot. I'd put Evan Bouchard's shot from the point right up there with Makar, and I might even say it's a better point shot, quite honestly, than Cale Makar. That's how good Evan Bouchard shoots the puck right now for the Edmonton Oilers. So he's got a potential, especially if with that power play, if Edmonton gets their opportunities, you know, to be able to make some things happen. My biggest fear for Dallas tonight, too, is with the layoff, and this is a thought I had, Alex, with like an Edmonton, too. What happens when you have a layoff? You're a step slow. You're losing a few more puck battles. What happens when you lose a few more puck battles? You hook, you hold, you interfere, you take a few more penalties. Who can make you pay on the power play? The Edmonton Oilers can.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, Dallas's penalty kill kind of sucked in the last two games of that Colorado series. You know, they gave up two power play goals in game five, which they lost at home to Colorado. The one goal Colorado scored in game six in the elimination game was a power play goal from Mikko Rantanen. I think they had one or two power plays the whole game, Colorado, and they scored on one of them. So that Dallas penalty kill did show a few chinks in the armor at the end of that Colorado series. And again, if you're a step slow, you had the long layoff, and you're just not winning those puck battles, you might be taking penalties and giving Edmonton the power play chances tonight, and that could be the door that opens for some trouble for the Dallas Stars tonight.
And in you saying that, you completely reminded me of what I bet yesterday, and I mentioned on the betcast. Over 1.5 power play goals, plus 154. And it's available at FanDuel. I don't know if other books have it. I think DraftKings might be another book that has it, so I have to look around and see. But I know I bet it at FanDuel. That's the book that always consistently has that. And it's usually at a plus, right? So that's something I'll probably be looking at more in this series, especially if one of these two teams, you know, do get into you know penalty trouble. It's something that, like I said, it hasn't really shaken off of plus 140 to 160 in the 1.5 range. So definitely worth a shot to take in maybe a couple of games throughout the series, the over 1.5 on the power play.
It's one of those deals where I feel like I've scripted out a start to this series. Edmonton winning tonight, and if that's the case, we'll probably be on Dallas in some form in Game 2. Probably their team total, more so than the money line in Game 2. But again, if Dallas does win tonight, their first Game 1 win under Peter DeBoer, then we'll have to pivot. We'll figure out a methodology moving forward. But like I say, I've kind of mapped it out, at least in the first two games, that we're going to go back to Edmonton 1-1 with Edmonton winning tonight and Dallas winning in Game 2.
So we'll see now. That. I have a question that pose a question and a proposition for you. Would you look at maybe going serious correct score after three games and betting Edmonton 2-1 plus 160 and Dallas 2-1 plus 145, which now assures you have plus money going into game three on either side, and then you could even pull the draw in there. And now you got some
fantastic thought. I totally agree. 100%. That's a great, great thing to consider for me, certainly, because I do think it's 2-1 somebody after game three, hopefully Dallas. And I think it will be Dallas. I think Dallas wins game two and Dallas goes back to Edmonton and wins game three. Have they lost a game three in these playoffs, Dallas, on the road? I don't think so.
I'm not sure. I don't think. But the thing is,
Vegas in game three.
And the thing is,
they beat Colorado in game three, too. Yep.
Yeah. And you can shift it because, see, we're both in the same boat with having Dallas West and Dallas Cup futures. So you can shift it to where you could bet a little heavier on Edmonton 2-1 because they're both plus money, but that's the higher plus money. So you could bet a little heavier on Edmonton 2-1 And then if that's the case, now you've at least have a little bit more, you know, money that you've added in where it's plus 115 on 2-1 Dallas. That's not going to mean a heck of a whole lot because you already got enough stuff with Dallas moving ahead. So there's ways you can shift it and kind of balance this out. But there's plenty of plus money opportunities to do during this series. And like I said, I haven't done it yet. And I can look at it now as we're talking about the 6-game, 7-game stack. With the prices I'm seeing, plus 450 for Edmonton 4-2, plus 500 for Edmonton 4-3, plus 500 for Dallas 4-2, and plus 425 for Dallas 4-3. I more than likely will end up doing that whole stack with the series as well. It'll be smaller than, say, the Florida-New York series, but I think that's something I will be end up adding to my portfolio.
All right. I like it. By the way, Londo in the chat, I guess he's asking if you like any besides the bargain bin. Obviously, Alex has one in mind for the bargain bin special segment, but anything other than that?
Any props that I like outside of that? Yeah. Nothing player related. I did make a case last night for Jamie Benn for Conn Smythe. If he has a hot series, that number, because that was it's as high as 500-1 at DraftKings, 310-1 at FanDuel. That would be worth taking a stab on. If he can find a way to heat up and get, let's say, a couple of goals and a few points over these first couple of games, that number will be slashed dramatically. We'll see it go from 310-1 to 100-1 to 50-1 before you know it. So I did grab a tiny piece of that just based off of I think Ben could have a big series, and I will be looking at some Ben props. But that's the only thing probably player related that I've looked at so far. As far as series props concerned, I did, like I said, was taking a stab at looking at maybe adding some overtime spots, but the prices aren't as good as with the Eastern series. So, like I said, it'll be more of a game-by-game basis with this one.
No doubt. Yeah, exactly. Game-by-game is usually the approach, although you've talked me into that 2-1 Edmonton, 2-1 Dallas after the Game 3. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Like a split,
I do believe that's what it's going to be. It does. I think Edmonton wins game one, Dallas wins game two, three, and they might even win game four. I'm not so sure about game four, but they could. Like I think to me, that's why I said in this series, I think Edmonton's good enough to get two games. I kind of see, you know what, how Dallas Colorado went. I could see this series where it's Colorado won game one, Dallas won game two, game three, game four. Colorado went back to Dallas, stayed alive, winning game five in Dallas, and then Dallas went back to Colorado, ended the series in game six. I kind of think this series could be that identical flow, which means I should be betting that, that game by game thing that Alex, just to throw a couple bucks on it. Edmonton game one, Dallas game two, Dallas game three, Dallas game four, Edmonton game five, Dallas game six.
Oh, series result. That FanDuel will be your friend for that with the exact series score. So
if you ask me, that's how I've got this series mapped out. Edmonton game one, Dallas game two, Dallas game three, Dallas game four, Edmonton game five, Dallas wins in Edmonton game six.
All right, wait. I'm searching this up now as you're going through it. So wait, repeat that one more time, and I'll look all the way through. So Edmonton game one.
Yep.
Dallas game two.
Game two, three, and four. They win the next three. Yeah.
Okay. And then
Edmonton game five stays alive in Dallas.
Okay.
And then Edmonton and Dallas ends the series in Edmonton game six.
So,
and people say, wow, they can't beat Edmonton three times in a row on the road. They did that against Colorado, didn't they? Yeah.
So Dallas,
they're a damn good road team. They're better on the road than they are at home, Dallas.
Edmonton to win just game one and game five, correct?
That's right. Dallas, the other games, so 3-6. 60,
yep. That's 60-1 at FanDuel.
Yeah, that's worth it. That's worth a couple bucks.
Yeah, that is.
Because look, that's the same flow we saw in the Dallas Colorado series. So 60-1 for that, definitely. I think that's worth a look, definitely, in that exact series game by game result. And you can find those props definitely at FanDuel. You know where you can find us tonight for our Patreon exclusive live betcast, and we are looking forward to it. West Final Game 1, Edmonton Dallas, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central. 5:30 p.m. Pacific. I love these later start times for the betcast. I got to get everything that I need to get done underway, work done, errands done, get the dinner in my gullet, all that good shit before we start the betcast. So I love it. 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I'll get to watch the 1 hour. And that's right, 1 hour pregame show on TNT tonight for the game, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Earth to ESPN. That's how it's done.
Yeah.
That's how you put on a proper pregame show for the conference finals. It's only the conference finals. You know, you may want some kind of pregame coverage, and that's how it's done. It's going to be great. I know it because they've got the best studio crew that they can assemble for the NHL coverage. They've got the regular group, Liam, Biz, Ace, Anson Carter, and Hank Lundquist, and they've added Wayne Gretzky without subtracting someone else, and that's the best part. They bring in Wayne Gretzky for the Western Conference Final studio stuff on TNT, but not at the expense of someone else. Just like last year. I think last year, Conference Final and Stanley Cup Final, that's what they did too. It was Liam, Biz, Ace, Hank, and Wayne, the five of them on the panel, and they're doing the same thing for this series. So that's the GOAT panel right there for TNT for NHL coverage. So we're looking forward to that. The pregame I'll be watching, and we'll jump right on after that, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, for Game 1 Western Conference Final. Make sure if you want to watch and take part in the BetCast, subscribe, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Sign up and subscribe. Not to mention, only do you get the live BetCast with that Patreon subscription. You get our sides, totals, and player props, the rest of the playoffs each and every day, goalie charts, totals charts, and all of our off-season bonus content. And we're looking forward to that as well for our Patreon members. So $10 per month. Sign up now. Be part of the BetCast tonight. That's the only way to get in on it. Signing up, $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. And check out the Ice Guys store as well. Gear and merch offers available to iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
Yeah, we've got everything in stock. And for the next 4 days, you can get free standard shipping on any of your orders as well. So definitely want to take advantage of that. That's a Memorial Day special going on right now. Free standard shipping for the next 4 days at iceguys.myspreadshop.com.
I agree with that. I haven't seen it, Kenny Wu, but it's on my to-do list in the off-season. Sitting down and watching the Henrik Lundqvist documentary.
No question
about that. I'm very interested in that, about his battle to keep his career alive and all the tribulations he had to go through and the agonizing decisions he had to make and behind the scenes of some of the procedures he had to go through. And, yeah, I'm definitely excited about that. And it's just Henrik Lundqvist described it when they asked him about it on TNT promoting that documentary. He said, it's just basically a love story that I had for the sport. So, very, very interested in that. Apparently it is good, says Kenny Wu. And it doesn't surprise me. I am excited to see that. No question. All right. We'll be back in a moment. We've got best bets and bargain bin special of the night coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsors.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Boston and Pink, make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at BostonHempInc.com. I apologize to Kay. Kay says, you know, I never read her comments in the chat. I apologize, Kate. Maybe it's because I saw a couple comments earlier. You felt the Oilers were going to win this series. Maybe I was just a little upset seeing that. But no, I'm kidding. I wouldn't like it, but no, we're not holding that against you. I apologize for that. But yeah, good stuff. Edmonton does have a pathway to win this series. There's no question about that. Like I said, I'm fascinated because this series is very interesting, where I feel Dallas is the better team, deeper team, stronger team, better goaltending. But at the end of the day, if you were starting to build a hockey team and you were picking players from both teams, wouldn't you start with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you know, at the top of the list? So that's the thing about this series. I mean, those two guys when they're both locked in and they're both flying at the same time, they could carry their team to great things. They're going to have to probably do it in this series. So that's what makes this a very interesting, compelling series. There's no question about it. All right, we got bargain bin special of the night for this game one Western Conference final. Alex, where are you going for the bargain bin?
So, yeah, I was torn between this decision, even though, like I said, I'm with you. I like Edmonton in game one. And I think I will be riding with an Oilers player here. But I'm going with Zach Hyman to get two or more points. And this barely qualifies. It's plus 300 at FanDuel. So it just barely counts. But I think him getting 2 points is definitely reasonable, whether they win or lose tonight. My other option was Jamie Benn, 2 or more points. But I don't see him necessarily getting 2 points tonight if they're in a losing effort. I could see that more so with Hyman maybe getting a goal or assist or getting 2 assists in a loss or even a win. So that's the way I'm kind of, you know, shuffling. You have to kind of just look at the overall kind of intangible, not just, the big price necessarily. So Zach Hyman to get 2 or more points tonight, plus 300 at FanDuel. That's my bargain special for this game.
All right, good stuff. And obviously I'm on Edmonton for the game. I think this is a good spot for them, even though I'm hoping Dallas wins the series. So I'm going with an Edmonton Oilers player for my bargain bin special of the night as well. We already talked about it. The power play for Dallas has been at the end of that Colorado series. Look, they gave up 2 power play goals in game 5. The 1 goal Colorado got in game 6 was also a power play goal. And that makes a guy like Evan Bouchard very, very dangerous here in the game like this. He's been shooting the puck a lot. We know he can skate. He quarterbacks the power play. He sets things up well. He can pass. But this guy's shot is right up there with some of the best in the NHL from a defenseman, especially on the power play. And that shot has been connecting goals in 4 of the last 6 games for Evan Bouchard coming into game one tonight. I'm going with him. Evan Bouchard to score a goal plus 450 at FanDuel for my bargain bin special of the night. Bouch, anytime goal scorer, plus 450. For my bargain bin special tonight in game one. All right, best bets for game one. Alex, what do you like for best bet?
Yeah, we're going to go with that over 1.5 power play goals, plus 154 available at the FanDuel bet. But that's something that I really like. It's the thing I like the most of tonight. I think, like I said, you know, we could see that where, you know, guys are a step slower. Maybe they're hooking, they're holding, they're grabbing, and now we see some penalties and we get some power play chances at both ends. So this is just total power play goals for the game, not one side or the other. Over 1.5, plus 154 as my best bet for game one.
All right, I like it. A little different type of best bet, but I think it makes a lot of sense. So I think Dallas might be in the box a little bit more tonight than they might be in other games later in this series because of that layoff. Like I said, you're a little step slow and you're hooking and holding a little bit more. And maybe giving Edmonton a few more cracks with the man advantage tonight, which opens the door. And Dallas's power play is no joke either. Very, very capable as well. So over 1.5 power play goals at a very nice plus price, plus 154 for Alex B. Smith with his best bet here for game one in the Western Conference final tonight. My best bet, I think it sets up well for Edmonton tonight. So we're just going to go with the Edmonton Oilers, plus 116. Full game money line to take game one. Dallas is 0-5 in game ones in the Stanley Cup playoffs under head coach Peter DeBoer. Until that changes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And again, the long layoff for Dallas does concern me here tonight for game one. Now, if Dallas wins tonight, it's what I call short-term pain for long-term gain. Because if Edmonton does lose tonight, Dallas wins a game one finally. I'm one step closer to a big futures cash. So that's what I said. If Edmonton doesn't get it done tonight, for me, it's still short-term pain tonight for long-term gain. That's the way I see it. But I do think Edmonton does take game one tonight, and we'll use that for best bet. Edmonton plus 116 for my best bet here for game one of the Western Conference Final. That's a wrap until tonight when we are back with the BetCast Patreon exclusive. Again, one more time, patreon.com/iceguys, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Sign up and subscribe to be a part of the BetCast tonight. patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. Gamble's back with us tonight. He's making a return visit on the BetCast tonight. So him and others, we're looking forward to the night ahead for sure. Join us for the Patreon exclusive live BetCast. A reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And also on True TV Plus, download the app, Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV, all the devices, True TV Plus. You can find the Ice Guys show on there as well. For Alex B. Smith, I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Thursday, and we'll see you tonight for the Patreon-exclusive live BetCast, and, of course, back with you tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, for a Beantown Friday edition of the Ice Guys.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.